Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
School of Humans.
This show follows the investigation of serial murders and contains material that may be disturbing. Listener discretion advised.
Welcome, everybody. Kurt Kubicek here. Thank you so much for tuning in to our bonus episode. I wanted to bring you all back because there was a lot of things we wanted to share with you all, including more in-depth interviews with Cecilia Stein. We'll also hear great insight from Nikki Falkoff and more from Marinda Stein. So I've got Jennifer Tacchini, my co-producer, here with me.
Hi, it's great to be back.
And also, I'm really excited to introduce another important team member, our lead producer, Julia Kriskow.
Hey, good to be here.
We're going to tie up some loose ends of the case, including what we currently know about the open investigation into Colonel de Jager, Captain Johan van Vick, and Cecilia's husband, Officer Dries Stein. We'll also take you through everything, including some of our wild adventures on the ground in South Africa. If you've gotten this far, we appreciate you coming to the bonus episode of Queen Havoc. Here's Dr. Nikki Falkoff.
These countries with these kind of really big, opaque governments and these really, really complex, angry, difficult histories of violence, and these societies that are very diverse, where lots of people feel left out, you know, in a way that you wouldn't necessarily get in Western Europe. Is there something about those kinds of societies that makes people more susceptible to the sort of charisma that, you know, a Manson or a Cecilia Stein has? Quite possibly.
Well, I met Cecilia Stein this week.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How was that?
Most people could fall prey to her.
Huh, okay, that's really
instantly, when we met, it began. Her control. Yeah, she was on it the moment it started.
So there's some kind of manipulative skill that this person has that is beyond the understanding of most of us.
And if you're not, I mean, really hyper self-aware,
yeah,
you wouldn't see it.
Wow. Imagine if she used her powers for good.
So what was that like being in her presence then? So I know we talked a little bit about it in the episodes, but like, did you feel that she was like working that charm on you all when you were meeting her in the prison?
I think so. I mean, immediately when we walked in the room, we were introduced to a lot of the staff and a lot of the people that were there. And it really felt like we had to remind ourselves where we were, because it felt like just a casual conversation with friends and,
yeah,
you know, just catching up, you know, over coffee.
As a reminder, Sun City is one of the most dangerous prisons in South Africa. She instantly welcomed us. She just went in for hugs. It wasn't like we had a choice. But she was lovely and friendly. And I mean, she made everybody in the whole
area know that we were there to see her. And I mean, she's laughing and giggling. She doesn't take anything really that seriously with us. She tried to keep everything really, really light. I mean, she brought us into, you know, where you forgot. It's strange when you obviously are like, how could you do this to people? And how could you, you know, do this, manipulate people, abuse religion, you know, cause people to take lives? And then you're actually with these people and they're kind to you and they're respectful to you. And you obviously have your guard up, especially with Cecilia going, okay, she's playing chess too. So, and I think that was the biggest thing me and Jennifer, you know, was like, always remember she can't shut that off. She's always going to be Cecilia. She's always going to be playing chess. So don't get too comfortable. Yep. Don't get too comfortable. So, but, I mean, Marinda, as you heard in the series, you know, I was pretty rocked after meeting her. But what was, I think, so overwhelming for me is that she was really, really nice to me. Mm-hmm. And to know that just in a quickness that she could go
turn into
whether it's because of her manipulated, brainwashed, psyche about Cecilia, or she's just capable of that and has that deep thing.
Right.
But the scariest part is I saw the high school teacher.
Yeah, exactly.
I literally experienced the high school teacher when I sat with her, mm-hmm. which was the daytime Marinda.
Yeah.
You know,
and it seems like everyone had kind of a split personality. I mean, Luke talks about that as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, feeling like he's one person during the day and then at night he's himself. And it's so horrible to have to put on this mask all the time. But I feel like for Cecilia and eventually Marinda, probably it didn't feel like a mask anymore. Right. It just became who they were.
Yeah.
I see myself as a vigilante. And then I thought, okay, Marinda. So I fetched my old broken dictionary. And it says there, a person who takes care of a criminal act. So you might not agree with the vigilante. See, the people that we killed were bad potatoes.
They were what?
Bad potatoes.
Bad potatoes, okay.
All right.
I think one of the most interesting quotes from Cecilia that you all got was that Cecilia means blindness.
Even in court, you listen to people testify, and it's their opinion of something that happened. Just example, in court, the prosecutor was explaining to me what my tattoos mean. And I have an eye tattooed on my shoulder. And he was saying that it's the eye of Ran. I'm going, no, my name is Cecilia. It means blindness.
She is using her charm to reel people in. But she's completely blind to their experience, to like anyone else's experience besides her own, which is like the narcissist psychopath thing that's happening.
At one point, I asked Cecilia how it felt to be labeled the female Charles Manson. And this was her response.
Well, this is the first time I'm hearing someone saying that I'm the female version of Charles Manson. Don't know a lot about him, but we'll definitely go check up on that. I was always more of a Ripper fan myself. It's something that intrigued me. I do believe he was female. Just for the record, it's not a sexist thing. Females are so much better at everything else. What's the saying? If what the devil isn't able to do, he'll send a woman.
I believe that she saw this avenue into these people of, let me give you purpose. Mm. Correct? Let me give you, I need to be taken care of. I need your money. I need a ride. I need your help. Let me give you something to be purposeful about. And that's what I think is slightly unique about this. You know, this serial mastermind, whatever all the different names they give her, it's just a unique brand into finding people that specifically have this need to nurture.
Yeah, no, that's actually a very, very, very good point that I hadn't thought of. I'm thinking about cult leaders that I know a little bit about, people like the Jonestown guy and other kind of massive cult leaders. What they tend to do is they do provide people with a sense of purpose, but in the sense that they go, you must follow me and then you too will be strong like me. Their charisma is about strength and power. Whereas what she did was almost about weakness. she was constantly showing how vulnerable she is. I wonder if that's something to do with being a female cult leader rather than a male cult leader, that you cannot take this huge, vast patriarchal position where you go, I am God, I am Jesus, everyone must follow me. Instead, you go, I am the thing that needs to be saved from the greatest evil around, and you must all collectively save me. And in doing so, you save yourselves.
Yes, and you're doing something good and you're doing something righteous. Cecilia used pity as a manipulation tactic wherever she could. She never failed to mention her sickness, even with us.
I think at the end of the day, it was just a group of people really taking care of each other. I was the one that was sick the whole time. Yeah, my lungs are messed up. Yes, all of those things. But it wasn't just taking care of me because I was sick. We were friends. We cooked together. We ate together every day. We visited together every day. I think it was more just being there. I know in the court case, they pulled that out of proportion, but it was really just a group of people taking care of each other. What they say in court and what happens in real life is two completely, completely different things.
Cecilia is chock full of contradiction herself, constantly creating a facade to hide behind. Detective Ben Boysen told us that he believes Cecilia and EPD to be connected to at least four more murders, ones that he couldn't prove.
I linked them actually with 15 murders, but I could only prove 11. So I only took that 11 cases to court at the end of the day.
Ben also did some digging into Cecilia's background before the days of Ria Grunewald and EPD even began.
Going back, Cecilia's husband had a girlfriend in 2005, and eventually she was also killed in a brutal way. But in 2005, Zach Valentine and Marinda and those people was not part of her. So I don't know if Cecilia did that killing by herself, or was there at that stage other people in her life that she was convincing to kill people.
It's like Suzette said, she could open a university to teach people manipulation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, she had them believe that, you know, she gave everybody a teddy bear, and they believed that she embodied the teddy bear and that she could watch them through the teddy bear and all their actions. And so Marcel and LaRue believed that they were being watched at all times because of that.
She never admitted anything to us with regard to the crimes and told us her versions of everything. We knew that there was a dark side or a shadow version of herself that she didn't show us, which was capable of saying and doing whatever it took to get what she wanted.
I also believe there's no big or small sin. Sin is sin. Whether you lie or kill or steal, some people steal chocolates. Some people steal people's lives. Whether it's shoplifting or murder, or there's no big or small sin. Sin is sin. I don't have the right to judge anybody. I think we're just us, you know?
We'll be right back.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
A lot of those conmen and grifters end up being religious leaders, and then they just become conmen and grifters at a larger scale, right? I'm thinking about the kind of really extractive evangelical churches that are popping up all over South Africa, where people who have very, very, very little are giving most of what they have to a preacher.
I would love to dive into that, because we've also found our way to attend one of the church that one of the police officers who's under investigation right now is pastoring.
Oh, wow.
Basically, we found out while we were there that De Jagard had opened up some kind of a small congregation of his own. I know this is absolutely insane, right? After hearing everything we just did. So on the day that I was set to go into the prison to see Marinda Stein, Jennifer was very interested in obviously joining me, but the only time of this church service was the day I was set to go into the prison. So I kind of, looked at Jennifer and said, hey, I know you're going to be on your own here pretty much, but I think this is really important, don't you think? And she totally agreed. So Jennifer, you want to tell me about that day?
Yeah, so I really was curious about De Jagard and wanted to ask him some questions. We really wanted to get the perspective of the detectives that we hadn't spoken to. We hopped in a car with one of our colleagues from South Africa and drove 2 hours outside of Johannesburg and pulled up. And unfortunately, I was left to my own devices to go in by myself. And we were running a little bit late. So unfortunately, the church had started and approached the it was like a small house, similar to like a house in the valley in Los Angeles. I was a little paranoid about going in. What was I going to say? Hadn't really quite prepared the questions or, what the approach was, because I knew that he was a pastor of this church. And so it was a delicate process to try to be able to speak to him. And walked up to the ornately carved wooden doors and pushed lightly on them, and it was locked, and so I thought I had an out. And then I turned around to leave, and then a person unlocked the door and opened the door and welcomed me in. And as soon as I stepped into the church, the room went silent, and I was staring directly at De Jagard, who was at the pulpit. He was maybe around 5'8", 5'9", late 50s. Short hair, like piercing blue eyes, with a big presence. He kind of teeters between like lovable grandpa and Tony Soprano. And he slowly walked down through about 30 chairs of people and embraced me in a hug and had me sit down on the back row near a fireplace. The guy that was standing guard at the door locked the door, and I immediately scanned the room looking for windows, doors, some type of exit, and there were bars on the windows. There was one back door, but that was it, and then there was a fireplace, and that was it. So I was kind of stuck in this room, and I tried to blend in to the best of my ability, but the whole church service was in Afrikaan. So as soon as the singing started, there were several individuals in the congregation that stood up and they started waving red flags.
Wow.
Like, you don't need anything more clear than a huge red flag waving in your face to get the hell out of there.
The universe was like, go now.
Get out.
The fact that you were locked in, where you're like, I feel like I would have been like shaking, like my hands would have been shaking.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is, once the door locked,
I feel like you're in Temple of Doom right now.
Yeah, knowing what I knew about D'Auger, I think was the scariest thing, because here you have this guy who's at the pulpit, you know, giving a sermon for families. There were children in there, you know, like it was a family church. And he presented himself as this family man, you know, that was helping the congregation. And that's one side of him. And, you know, we knew another side of him. But
so it was all different kinds of people, family, young people.
Yes. And then at one point, so they were singing hymns, and he asked a couple of people to come to the front. And then a person started speaking in tongues, started convulsing, and then collapsed onto the floor. And D'Auger and some congregation members came and helped her up. As this was all going on, our colleague, who was out in the car outside, texted me saying, "Look, you need to tread carefully, because this is a private church. This is a private home. He is still a detective. He's still on the force. And if he feels like you're being aggressive with him, or, you know, too confrontational, he could arrest you. You know, you're trespassing on his property." So the service wrapped up, and D'Auger again walked down the aisle towards me and, in English, you know, asked me if I wanted to come join the congregation in the back room for coffee and tea afterwards. And so followed them all in there and led into like a really small back room. It was tiled floor. There were windows. And the congregation all surrounded me, and they handed me coffee.
Were you set at ease a little bit now that you had witnesses and more people be kind to you?
Yeah, I think I was a little bit more at ease, but at the same time, my anxiety was, you know, peaking, because I didn't know what I was going to do, because I thought, oh, I was going to approach him, ask him some questions about the case, and then realizing that that's probably not the best idea. And the congregation surrounding me, and then his wife comes up to me and was really close. You know, the congregation was very curious about who I was and how I came to be there, because this was 2 hours outside of a main city. And I told them that I had found the church through Facebook, which is true. And then I also had our South African colleague texting me going, "Do not do anything stupid. Like, I can only bail you out so far. You know, you don't end up in the same prison as Cecilia and Miranda and the rest of Electus Purdeus," which I don't know if that's actually possible. But so it got awkward, because as everyone was surrounding me asking questions, and I was kind of backing up against the corner, you know, not really sure what to say to get out of there, because I wasn't going to take this opportunity to confront him with his wife and his congregation. There's kids, you know, it's like this was not the time and the place. And so I just sort of cut out and said, "It was so nice to be here," and shook everyone's hand, and then quickly ran out to the street in search of our colleague's car, and they were not anywhere to be seen. And so I like ran down the block as fast as I could trying to find their car, and found it, hopped in, and we sped away as fast as we could. But the scary thing was, on the drive back, another one of the colleagues that we had met with in South Africa while we were there texted me and said, "Oh, D'Auger mentioned that you visited him at church today." And I hadn't told them anything, or, you know, any name, or, you know, maybe because I was from the States, like that was their connection. But and that was really scary, is that he knew who I was the whole time.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching,
Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
So, in sequence of events, so Cecilia gets convicted in August of 2019.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then, I mean, obviously Dries was implicated in some of the testimony, right? Because he was living there, so he had to be aware of some of it. Is it safe to say that Ben Boysen was like, okay, this is not over? And in order to, like, actually end this, like, there's a larger problem here, which is there's corruption and organized crime happening in the police force, which Dion Van Vick talks about a lot.
As a young prosecutor, in 1993, you would have blown me out of the water if you told me then this is what South Africa would become. So there is an element of, how shall I explain? Cancer in our moral fiber on ground level.
It's safe to say that Ben wanted to get these guys behind bars.
Ultimately, what we know of is the Jager was removed from the police service without a pension.
This was November 2022.
Right. And you all were there in August of 2022.
So November 2022, the Jager was removed from the force. I think a month before his pension was supposed to kick in.
Yes.
And there's currently an open investigation that could put him behind bars.
I'm curious what you think Diager's motivations might have been, because, you know, we obviously know from what we just heard from you, Jennifer, that he is like a God-fearing individual. And I wonder, you know, do we know anything about how Cecilia may have manipulated him? Like, was he just terrified of her because he also believed the satanic stuff? Do you think she was like paying him off maybe to keep them safe? Like, maybe that's where Zach Valentine and John Barnard's money was all going, to, you know, ensure their all of their safety?
I don't know, but my gut tells me that this is money. Learning everything we did when we were there and the investigation and how underpaid and overworked the police force is, I think this is just something where, you know, he was able to make a little bit extra money. He had known and had a prior relationship with Cecilia. So there was kind of a give and take of, you know, financial things and also gifts. I think Ben mentioned that in the series, and that kind of thing was going on, because at the end of the day, I think there was just too much to risk possibly for Diager if there wasn't money involved.
The problem is the global system of capitalism, that if a woman was in charge, she would also be stuck with. And I think that's also why this particular case caught people's attention so dramatically, because we are all so horrified by the idea that women could do this, particularly by the idea that a mother would sully her daughter in this way. It's absolutely horrifying and, you know, fascinatingly sensational at the same time. So I think that's drawn a lot of attention to this case.
Colonel Henny Diager has been released from his duties as an officer of the law and his pension revoked. Cecilia Stein's husband, Dries, is still working as a cop for the South African Police Service. Captain Johan van Vick came back to the force after resigning for a bit after Michaela's murder. He, too, still works for the SAPS. I want to add one more thing before we wrap things up. Something I thought was interesting. While we were in South Africa, I was asked by Luke, our main witness, to talk to Detectives Suzette Kanotse and Ben Boysen to try to arrange a visit. Luke wanted to go to the prison where LaRue is incarcerated. To get some information and closure on a few things and potentially help Ben in the case against the corrupt cops. So I reached out to Suzette and told her about the situation. She'd helped Luke in the past and agreed to make the trip to be by his side. Suzette flew up from Cape Town to Johannesburg and met up with Luke to visit LaRue at Sun City Prison. During their visit, Suzette told LaRue, quote, "I wish you had come forward to me then and told me your story. You were never implicated or involved in the first four murders. So if you told me the truth back in 2012, instead of when you were caught in 2016, you would have never gone to prison at all." Suzette told us that there was an unforgettable look on his face. She watched as the weight of her words sunk into his soul, and he felt the raw truth of them. Grieving the lost promise of yet another life he'd callously extinguished, his own. But Luke, there in prison with LaRue, he felt it. What he'd come to find, a sense of closure. LaRue Stein is set to be released from prison in 2039. There's also a small chance, according to the state advocates we spoke with, that Cecilia Stein could be up for parole in 2044.
At the end of the day, telling your side of what happened, it is very much liberating in a way.
As we conclude this series, we extend our heartfelt gratitude to all who have supported this podcast and everyone in South Africa who welcomed us into your beautiful country. Thank you again for joining us on this journey through the darker chambers of the human heart. Together, we peered into the nearly unknowable minds of murderers and also ventured to grapple with the losses and the victims they left in their wake. And in doing so, we hope that we also illuminated those aspects of the human psyche that defy easy understanding. Cecilia Stein confessed she believes we are all sinners and that only God can judge us. I have to agree with her. But make no mistake, we can still recognize evil when we see it. Trust yourself and always listen to those whispers of truth inside you. Queen Havoc and Her Murder Cult is a production of School of Humans and iHeart Podcasts. Queen Havoc is hosted and created by me, Kurt Kubicek. Produced and written by Jennifer Tacchini, Julia Kriskow, and Kurt Kubicek. Lead producer is Julia Kriskow. Story editor is Zarin Burnett. Senior producer is Amelia Brock. Production manager is Daisy Church. Original music composed by Claire Campbell. Editing, sound design, and scoring by Jesse Neiswanger. Associate producers are Dashin Moodley and Jermaine Kriher. Additional producing by Ben Melman. Fact-checking by Dennis Webster. Recording engineers are Graham Gibson, Clay Hillenberg, and Josh Hook. Brenda Stein was read by Angelique Pretorius. Executive producers are Virginia Prescott, L.C. Crowley, Brandon Barr, Jennifer Tacchini, and Kurt Kubicek. We want to thank all of those who so generously welcomed us in South Africa and shared their stories. We're incredibly grateful to you all. We also want to acknowledge how traumatic these events are for the victims and their families. Please respect their privacy. If you or someone you know has been affected by cult behaviors, there are resources available, including Voices for Dignity at christinemurray.com.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives.
With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.